Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
Filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
My cup loaded.
Thank you.
one more time.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, we have, as always, a wonderful broadcast in store for you. That, by the way, was a song entitled Psalm 23. And the lead singer on that, or the choir director, was Josh Sherman. Now, his voice reminds me a little bit of one of those two guys in the Just Thinking podcast. You got Virgil and Daryl. Sister Marie's going to let me know which one he sounds like, because I don't want to mess up the names. But, he sounds like one of those guys. So, again, welcome to this wonderful broadcast, which we do each and every week. We're here to facilitate you with apologetics, to encourage you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Without any further ado, let me bring on Sister Marie. Sister Marie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And you? How are you, bro?
I'm doing well. I shared yesterday with the audience that I wanted to thank you and Sister AJ for allowing me a week off last week as I was dealing with some very serious issues with my son. And you guys were so kind to give me the week off so that I could deal with that. So, again, thank you for, just accommodating me and just giving me the time that I needed to help my son with his particular issues.
No problem. Anytime.
Yep.
Not
all right,
a problem.
Now, let's listen to this guy here at the beginning of this song. And he sounds like one of the guys of Just Thinking podcast, but I don't know. I mixed them up, Virgil and Daryl. I mixed them up. Okay, so listen to this.
Okay, yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song.
Now, which one of
Virgil?
He sounds like one of those guys.
Yeah, it's Virgil. I never
there
thought of that until you just replayed it. Yeah,
well,
that's Virgil.
Well, we were doing a couple of weeks of the Just Thinking podcast, right? And I had his voice in my head. And when I played the song,
right,
I said, oh, that's one of those guys from the Just Thinking podcast. Because they sound identical.
Yeah, they do sound like that. It's not, they're not the same, but they
they're not the same
sound
guy.
Like that.
Right, but they,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow.
Exactly. Great song.
Wow, you picked
great
that
song,
up.
By the way.
Yeah. Isn't it? I love his voice. Imagine he was just a worship leader. I mean, that's a great job in a church as a worship leader.
Sure.
But I think he needs to make a few albums. Yeah. I would buy him. I love him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Incredible.
He's very good. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. These people are gifted, you know, Charity Gale and all the other people on that album,
yes,
on that song. They're all gifted people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
today we're doing news.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's called, the news show. So I thought we'd do some news for a change.
Okay.
Oh, there's
all
so
right.
much news out there. I mean, my mailbox, my mail, incoming mail, is
right.
I had 700 and some emails in there.
Wow.
I had to clean out. So while we were off, I got it down to 200. But, you know, and mainly it's about news, you know. I have, you know, it's just news. So it's
sure.
hard to pick out, you know, what's current. And usually it's old news by the time, you know, you can let a week go by and it's old news. We have something
mm-hmm. right.
horrific going on every week, you
sure.
know. So it never gets boring. But there's a rumor that Pope Francis might resign.
Oh,
did
there
you
is.
Know that?
No, I didn't
yeah.
know that.
It's a rumor.
Well,
we'll see.
Sure.
I can tell you the source.
Mm-hmm.
Megyn Kelly was on vacation at the Vatican, which tells
oh.
you everything.
Sure.
And she said that that's a rumor going around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's extremely unusual for a pope to resign, you know,
right.
while they're still alive. But the
sure.
last one did, and he's still alive. So
mm-hmm.
she states that she saw a ton of cardinals around, which is also
mm-hmm.
very unusual.
Right, right.
So
right.
Now my question would be, who is his replacement? Who will they pick?
Yeah.
If it's true, and if he does, who would they pick? You know, because he's extremely unpopular among conservative Catholics, even, you know.
Right, right.
And
right.
he's both a Jesuit and a liberal. So he's very unpopular. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it really makes no difference, you know, who you put in there, because they're all wicked and satanic.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like you're taking the Pope out and you're putting in John MacArthur.
Right.
You know, so
right.
so you know, there no matter who you put in there. It's the same rotten apple that comes from the same rotten tree.
Right.
You know, it's not,
right.
it's not going to, you know, it's not going to, it's like, you know, if you take out one demon and then you let another demon come in, they're all demons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Right.
Right. You know, whether it's Ratzinger or. They're just all
Rat Singer. Think
yeah,
about the
yeah.
name, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. They're all bad. You know, they're all wicked people.
Yeah.
They're all wicked people. So, and that
yeah.
would be two popes in a row that have resigned.
That's right.
Because Ratzinger resigned.
Yeah, and that's unusual. It's just, that's a new thing, isn't it, for the popes to resign while they're still alive. You know, I mean, obviously they resign when they die, but, you know, to resign, that's unusual to have
sure.
that happen. They're either bumped off or die, you know.
Right.
You know.
Sure.
I don't know. But I thought it was, you know, it's a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, you know, with her saying that, she seems to think there's something to it, but we'll just give it time. You know, I don't know why it was put out there, but that's the word.
Right.
So we'll see. That's one of those time will tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
News story.
Time will tell. Yeah, time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens.
Well, I thought I'd bring it up because I did find it interesting, you know, the rumor interesting anyway. But, okay, what isn't a rumor here, we have a new story. It says Bill Gates wages war on meat. Now he's hiding behind the climate change thing. So
right.
I'm going to do a breakdown on the farmland he owns
okay.
because he owns 268,984 acres in the United States, right?
Right.
He owns 242,000 acres of farmland.
Mm-hmm.
Think about these numbers. 25,750 acres of his are in transition. 1,234 acres are considered recreational.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that. And I want you to think about it in the, you know, somebody once said, he who controls the food controls the world, you know, something to that effect. Well, he's running for that position, I think. Now, here's some of the states he owns land in. Washington, he owns 16, Washington State. He owns 16,097 acres.
Mm-hmm.
In Idaho, he owns 9,233 acres. California, 4,509 acres. Arizona, 25,750. Wyoming, 975 acres. Colorado, I think, who is it? Is it Kanye West or what's his name that owns the other part of Wyoming? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think AJ was talking about that. Colorado, he owns 2,270 acres, and we know Ted Turner is out in that area too. Now, this is interesting. New Mexico, he owns 1 acre of land. I have no idea. Nebraska, he owns 20,588 acres. Wisconsin, 1,188 acres. Iowa, 1,188 acres, same amount. Illinois, it looks like 17,940. Arkansas, 47,927. Louisiana, 69,071 acres. Mississippi, 16,963 acres. Michigan, 2,167 acres. Ohio, 8,915 acres. Indiana, 1,136 acres. North Carolina, 874 acres. And Florida, 14,828 acres, which comes out to 268,984 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he doing that? Well, that represents your dairy, you know, your beef,
yep.
your fruit, your vegetables.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Sure.
But how do you feel?
Well, he's making some kind of move, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, he's preparing himself to rule the world through food.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. When the economy crashes, all those places that sell these smartphones will go out of business. And all the places that sell rice and bread and meat and all, they'll still be in business. Because people aren't going to eat smartphones. People are going to eat food.
That's right.
So the food, you know, is it. Food is it.
So he who controls the food controls the world. Yeah. True.
And he can also poison the world. Through the food supply.
I never thought of that.
Right?
Yes.
Just like the Chinese. The Chinese can poison us all. You know, all these all of these things that they sell at the dollar store, all of these
dollar
medications over the over the counter, all this stuff, that's made in China.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they can poison us. Right?
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Okay, no more aspirin from the dollar store.
Well, no, I'm not saying, you know, because I stock up on things. I stock up on things from the dollar store because it's inexpensive.
Right.
But
right.
China could, if they wanted to, China
sure
could, you know, poison us.
Yeah.
Because everything is
which
manufactured overseas.
Which never made sense to me why we blame China for a pandemic and then we build more dollar stores full of Chinese products. Never made
right.
sense to me at the
sure.
same time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So are they to blame? If so, are we punishing them? No, we're building more stores. Dollar stores. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So, doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Something
so.
Smells bad in that, you know.
Yep.
There's something. Okay, another news headline. The fully vaccinated account for 4 in every 5 COVID-19 deaths since February in Canada. Now, this is from February to May. Said there were 429,335 cases, okay? 376,451 people that got it were vaccinated. 11,211 were partially vaccinated. 138,086 were double vaccinated. 227,154 were triple vaccinated. So that accounts for 12% of the people out of the 429,335. Only 12% that got it were unvaccinated, right? The unvaccinated only came to 12%. 88% came from vaccinated and 60% came from triple vaccinated, the cases. Now Canada is saying that 2 doses don't work anymore. Do you see?
Wow.
They're not working, the 2. So it was only 12% of the cases were from people who are unvaccinated. I mean, it's only 12%. Of the population that
mm-hmm.
got COVID, they were the unvaccinated. The the vaccinated were the highest at 88%, and the triple vaccinated was 60%. Now, we could say, in thinking about it, the triple vaccinated could have been 60% because they weren't giving triple vaccinations maybe during that time period. I don't know. You know. But, you know, that's the facts. So what do you have to say about that? I mean, what's
well,
that show?
I haven't been vaccinated, and mm-hmm. so I'm still kicking. I'm still alive.
Yeah.
So go figure. Right?
Yeah.
There are people that got 2 vaccines and kicked the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had no vaccines, and I'm still, you know, walking around.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's again, you're letting people put stuff into your body. You're
mm-hmm.
just letting them shoot you up. You don't know what. You just don't
yeah.
know what it is, right? So
yep.
I remember
right.
the one and only time my wife says, you know, you hit 60, you need the flu shot. And
mm-hmm.
I said, no. And she said, yes. So in that case, mommy won because mommy
yeah.
always wins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I went and got the flu shot. Well, I was in bed. As soon as I got it, I was in bed for 3 weeks.
Yeah, because they give you
the
flu.
Right.
Yes.
So then I went after the 3 weeks were over and I looked at her. I said, now you see why I don't take these shots?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's never brought up the flu shot. Every other year she doesn't bring it up because she knows that, you know, I'm not going for it. Same thing with the vaccine.
Yeah.
I said, no.
Yeah.
So we just don't trust it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I told my husband, I'm not getting it, but you can do, you know, obviously it's your decision what you want to do.
Right.
You know, but this is how I feel. And he said, I feel the same way. I'm not getting it.
Right.
You know, I'm not, I just feel the same way. So we're kind of in agreement about that. Yeah. And I got sick. I got really sick, but to me, it felt just like the flu.
Right.
I mean, I've had the flu before, felt the same way. I didn't see any difference in the flu and what I had.
And my wife and I both suspect that we had COVID, but like you said, it came and it went. And we didn't go to the hospital. Remember, when we felt that we had COVID, they were telling people don't come to the hospital. So we didn't have it checked out. You know, we didn't have it verified whether we had COVID or not. And so we just went through it and, you know, stayed at home and weathered the storm and, you know, and here we are today. So,
well, they tell you now when you call the doctor not to come in if you have a cough, a cold, not feeling, don't come into the doctor. Now, that's crazy. That's why you go to the doctor usually. But they'll tell you when you're setting an appointment. If you have a fever, if you have a cough, if you have a cold at all, do not come into the office. And then it says, call your primary doctor. Well, you're calling your primary doctor.
Right. And he wants nothing to do with you.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, don't come here, right?
Yeah.
So you just stay home. You know, they have these things you can put on your finger for your oxygen, you know, to check your...
Right.
Your oxygen level or whatever, and you know, they're probably around the price of a copay to go to your doctor, and as long as that's above 90, you're okay. If it drops below 90, you need to go to the hospital.
Right.
But that's your oxygen level, you know. So, you know, you get that and some aspirin and whatever, and, you know, drink lots of liquids, take vitamins. That's it. I mean, that's...
Crazy. But
I'm not a doctor.
You know,
I'm not giving medical information. I'm just saying it worked for me.
Right.
It worked for me that day.
And that's how it worked for me the same way.
Let
me stay home and... And in reality, COVID was a blessing in disguise for me because my kids like to go out on weekends. And, of course, they like to go out on daddy's dime. And and my wife's always saying,
money.
You know, right. So for 2 years, I saved money.
Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, for 2 years, I mean, it was like, you know, hey. And you saved on
you
gas because you
were...
You
used it to your advantage again, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So you saved on gas and you saved on, you know, restaurants and all that. And you saved on the county, the yearly county fair. And, you know, that was it. That was it. You saved. And,
Of course,
so,
the kids were bored.
Well,
yeah, the kids
are
with bored kids.
Listen, when I was a kid, you got up in the morning, you walked out the front door, and we had 50 acres, right?
You had
50, so you were in the creek, you were up in the trees, you were out, you know, doing whatever.
Right.
Today, and mind you, when I was a kid, you hardly had any toys. Today, my kids have rooms full of toys, games, smartphones and all that, and they're always bored. So
it's amazing,
you know,
isn't it?
And we had nothing,
yeah.
and we were happy. We was as happy as you could be. So, go figure. Go figure.
Yeah. You're chasing them to get fresh air now, chasing them outside, you know. Get outside,
yeah.
Get some fresh air. I mean,
absolutely,
it's just totally different, totally different. It's a different world than what you and I grew up in, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
We had to come home when the street lights come on.
That's
if
it.
You
that's
had a
it.
Street light where you live,
mm-hmm. right.
You had to be in by, you know, when the street light come on, that's when you came home.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know. Okay, we're going with audio one now. This is this was an audio, and the title says BLM co-founder asked to learn from mistakes after reports. Okay, this was on Dan Abrams Live.
Right.
This is more exposure about BLM and what they really stand. Now, we're going to start this at 127, 1 minute, 27 seconds into the video, because Abrams just did a commentary about the police, and it, you know, and it doesn't have anything to do with what we're getting at here. But if you can start that at 127 in, I would appreciate
okay.
it.
No problem.
It's 6 minutes, 59 seconds, minus 127 on that.
All right. Here it is.
Joining me now is Dana Kennedy, who has been all over this story for the New York Post. Thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate
it. Happy
to be here. All right. So what do you make of her request for forgiveness here?
I think the optics are pretty bad, because a year ago when she resigned, which was due in large part to the New York Post reporting, my colleague Isabel Vincent, she also went on the attack and said it was just the right wing that was leading her to do this. And a year later, she's been found out in a way more egregious way. If you look over these filings, as Isabel and I did this week, it's shocking, Dan, to see how this money was spent.
Why?
Well, just you gave the big picture, you know, with giving her baby daddy and almost close to a million, and, you know, her brother, who was a graffiti artist for 20 years. We see no signs that he was ever really in security. Perhaps he was, but he hasn't answered our phone calls. She also, the foundation also gave to about 48 organizations. And, again, they say on the IRS filings that it's meant to help basically black communities and black people. But a lot of these organizations, and I looked at almost all of them, are kind of, you know, very sort of social justice warrior stuff that looks as if they were all kind of maybe Bard College graduates for them a couple of years ago. Again, I didn't look at every last one, but the majority of them are like that. And about at least six of them are for transgender organizations that do involve black people, but there's a big focus on giving money to transgenders. And the people she omitted sometimes were like storefront preachers. A guy named Brooks, the Reverend Pastor Brooks in Chicago, who tried twice to get some money. He's been in Chicago in the belly of the beast on O Block in the worst area of the South Side of Chicago and has never gotten a dime. He's actually on a rooftop now. He's been on a rooftop for 160 days, Dan, trying to raise money for a center across from his church on Chicago's South Side, and Black Lives Matter never, ever even picked up the phone to say, no, you can't have money.
Now, were you able to uncover this all from IRS filings, meaning she's admitting all of this stuff and it was just sitting there in the tax records?
Well, admitting it as far as when you look at, say, these 48 organizations that she gave money to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when I say she, I mean, she was the only board member at the time. You go through them and you see what they are. I'm not saying they're not all legitimate at all, but, I mean, when you know some of the people that didn't get the money, then you look at them with a more jaundiced eye.
Well, she's admitting it was a mistake. I mean, right? I mean, it's not like she's saying I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
But what amazes me is that, you know, she had some of the Clinton lawyers in on this, and you'd think that they would have realized when these filings came out that
right.
the right-wing media would at least have looked and said, why are you giving your baby daddy almost $1 million?
Well, that's why I'm
And why are you giving your brother almost $1 million to be security? You know, buying all these mansions in L.A. and Toronto,
yeah.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
They could have easily made it look at least a little bit better, and her optics on this last – to always come out fighting, I mean, a little humility. I mean, forgiveness is great, but a little humility is always nice as well.
Speaking of bad optics, let me play a piece of sound here about how they got some of the money, who some of the donors were, according to her.
You know, contrary to what, you know, has been reported, much of the funding that came in was from individual donors. That was a lot of white guilt money.
Imagine if you were a white person, then I would assume that, I don't know how what percentage of the people who donated to BLM were white people, it's got to be a big number, and you donated to BLM, and then your donation is being characterized as white guilt money.
It's totally pejorative. Yeah. Like I said, she doesn't seem to have any kind of smart strategist or even smart friends around her to sort of give her an idea of what kind of sound bites she's offering out there. I mean, I would, and here's the other kind of big secret, Dan, is, you know, there's the BLM 10. There are these organizations, BLM chapters, that have kind of parted ways and feel really bad. There's a lot of really good people that were part of the movement that
right.
didn't expect this to happen. And even people like Hawk Newsom in New York, the BLM guy in New York, he's not talking this week, and I understand why, but it puts them in a terrible position. You don't want to come out against this movement that still most people think was wonderful.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is are people within the movement now coming out against her, or are they sort of remaining silent?
They've already come out against her, but again, you know, you're not reading about this stuff, Dan, necessarily in a lot of mainstream publications. In fact, the AP, where I used to work, referred to BLM in their big story about the filings as a scrappy organization, which is not an adjective that we would have used.
$90 million is a big scrappy organization, right?
Yeah.
That they were able to
exactly
to bring in as a result of that. And do you think that the next step is possible investigation? I mean, is she possibly under criminal investigation?
Yeah, there are already a couple investigations going on in California. I think what might save her is the fact that people are treading, and you can understand why they're treading lightly around this. This is sort of embarrassing for everybody.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think she could maybe fix this a little bit. You know, they could, you know, maybe look in terms of giving the money to some other people now. Again, a little humility, a little less blaming everybody else would go a long way.
All right. Dana Kennedy, thank you very much for
coming in.
Really appreciate it. Thank you for watching. Click the...
All right. So we knew that they were criminals anyway. I mean, they learned from people like Sharpton and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, right? They, you know, shake the tree and the apples
mm-hmm.
will come falling down. You know, so... this is what they've learned to do. And of course, look at the mismanagement of the funds.
Yep.
Right?
Well, she hijacked millions under the guise of racism, but never gave money to anyone who was truly a victim of it. You know what I'm saying? Where'd all the money go? She had millions, her family, her boyfriend, transgender organizations, undisclosed organizations, social justice movement, 48 different organizations, and homes. It went into homes. I mean, somewhere you would think this is criminal, somewhere. But, you know, I don't think it'll go anywhere because there's too many people behind it, you know, that are worried about their reputation now, you know?
Right.
And then she turns around and says it's white guilt, these organizations. Well, I think bigger people were behind that. I think like the George Soros and men like that were behind that. I really do.
Sure. Sure.
You know.
But, so, you know, some of it is white guilt
mm-hmm.
because there are lots of stupid people out there who believe that they are to blame for what their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did long ago, and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
the judge isn't going to throw me in jail for something my grandfather did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if my grandfather was a serial killer and he killed all these women, the judge isn't going to arrest me and the rest of my cousins for the sins of my grandfather.
Right.
No, my grandfather gets to go to jail for his sins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why are you so guilty? You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, I can trace my tree way back, and I can tell you there's no slavery in my tree. You know, I mean, as far as only slaves. We had some poor ones in there, poor people in there, but we didn't have any,
right,
but even if
yeah, but even if you could,
yeah.
Right?
There's nothing you could do.
I mean, and why are you to be blamed? You know, you're supposed to be, for example, I go back to the story where Denson Franklin, his older brother, who is 2 years ahead of him, his older brother,
mm-hmm.
they're both attending the same college. And his older brother graduates, and then Jensen leaves when his brother graduates. Well, no, stupid. You leave when you graduate. Not when your brother graduates. Right? So, you know, there are people that just think that because they're connected, you know,
mm-hmm.
they get to do what the older person ahead of them did. And that's not the way
mm-hmm.
it works. Because, you know, they're going to hire his brother, but they're not going to hire Denson Franklin.
That's right.
Because some jobs require a college degree. And since his brother
mm-hmm.
has a college degree, then he can apply for the job. But since he doesn't, you can't apply for the job. You cannot apply. So, it's a meritocracy, right? It's based on what you do. Right?
Yes.
It's based on what you do.
Yes.
There are people who can't file a tax return with the IRS because they take welfare. Don't
mm-hmm.
be mad at the person who got a tax return from the IRS. That person worked. You didn't.
Yeah.
So don't be mad.
Yeah.
So again, it's you can't hold
I mean, biblically you can't either. You can't hold me accountable for something, you know, that someone in my family, Jesus is not going to hold me accountable for something one of my ancestors may or may not have done. I mean, if I were a high priest, like you were talking about, who was it you were talking about just recently? Oh, shoot. You were talking about how he was accountable for his sons. Was that Eli,
Eli
you were talking about?
Yeah. Because Eli was their immediate supervisor.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? I mean, so... He's the person over them. So,
mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Back then, it's a difference too. We're in the New Testament now, and I think a lot of it, they were accountable, the nations, and the high priests and all that were accountable then. And I think the pastors. It's the same thing now. The pastors are accountable in certain ways for the way they direct their flock and everything. But, I mean, the bottom line is what is that individual going to do? They have to have the relationship with the Lord first, don't they? I mean,
sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it makes no sense. And, I was shocked to learn something. All this about the defund police. I was looking at an article about the police officers in Tennessee, and they're only making $25,000 a year. So they're putting their life on the line because there's some rough areas in Tennessee, really rough, for that amount of money. $25,000, that's not uncommon. I started to look around, and it's not uncommon. So what they're doing, we have so many police officers right now, because they're underfunded, they've quit their jobs due to unfair targeting and wages. It's just not worth it anymore.
Right.
That is scary, because when we defund them and they leave, or they are, you know, they're making, what, $12 an hour or something, you know, putting their life on the line, $12, even $15 an hour. Who would do that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the alternative? We get lawlessness, or
right,
we get the military, which is government rule. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's no alternative. There's nothing good about doing that. Nothing. Nothing
right.
good about doing it. But I was really shocked that a lot of these men, like in Tennessee, $25,000 a year to put their life on the line. And they have a lot of meth problems down in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're getting shot at. They're, you know, all this. Who would do that for them? They're saying, I'd rather work in a factory, you know, and maybe make 15 and just go to work every day, and I'm guaranteed to come
sure.
home at night unless I get hurt at work. You know?
Right.
That's
right.
what they're doing. So
yep.
it's terrible. It's terrible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that one went on for a while, that rant. I did. Sorry.
No.
But, I mean, I was
no.
shocked when I read that. I was shocked. We need to really think about this. You know, I mean, we defund the police, or, you know, and which they did. They cut a lot of wages. They didn't put it in their budget for police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Who would die for that? Who, you know,
nobody.
These officers, yeah, they have families too. And they're
sure.
black and white officers. There is
right.
there are several police officers in Detroit that are both black and white officers. They're putting their life on the line, and they're being defunded all the time. It's not right. It really isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the alternative is worse, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, than a few officers. And, yes, there are some bad officers. Yes, there are. But there's also good officers in there.
Absolutely.
And normally the good will rat out the bad. Somewhere along
mm-hmm.
the line, the good officers will rat out the bad one. So, okay, we have audio too, and this is proof that Rick Warren, we were talking about Rick Warren a little bit in detail just recently. Rick Warren is really making moves now. You know, we talked about him being an entire generation involved in an entire generation of church people. Well, he's really, like, he's leaving as a pastor of his church. He's making a lot of moves right now. So we're going to talk about him for a minute. This is proof that Rick Warren is tied to the World Economic Forum, Davos. And this is
right.
only a 1 minute, 3 second clip. So I want to play this one first on him. Just a short
okay.
clip here. And this is at the World Economic Forum.
Okay, here it is.
I'm here at Davos with a lot of my friends, and we're talking about what are the biggest problems on the planet and how we're going to solve them. Extreme poverty, pandemic diseases, there's a role for the public sector, there's a role for the private sector, and there's a role for the faith sector. Each of them can do something that none of the other three can do. Government has a role to set agenda. Government has a role to set priorities and things like that and move nations. Pandemic diseases, government has a role to set agenda. Government has a role to set priorities and things like that and move nations.
He's a wicked man. He's
yeah.
a wicked man.
Well, Davos is a meeting place where the elites plot against you. That's what it is in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are pandemic diseases. They were planned a long time ago. That's from 2008, by the way. 2008. So their agenda, either way you want to say it. Each country says it different. But they set the agenda, right? This is what he said. What's involved in it? The agenda, pandemics, To do what? To move nations. That's what they've said. That's back in 2008, you know. So I just want to point out something here. A pandemic could get them everything they want. Everything they want to accomplish, you know, they can conquer people, right? They can get
right.
people to rise up against each other. Let's say the people who take the vaccines and the ones who don't, you know, they can cause famine with a pandemic, and they can cause death and disease. That, under the guise of pandemic, could do it all. And I'm just saying that, if you think about it, could see where the pandemic last time conquered people. You know, people were rising up against one another. It could be famine. They could take it to a point, you know, with an outbreak again and cause famine with that. You know, they don't, the shelves can't stock the shelves, can't move the trucks, you see? And that
yep.
in itself, and we don't know what's in it, it could cause death and disease. We have, you know, so, and by the way, that's the four horsemen right there. All those are.
Yep.
Just saying,
yep.
that's four horsemen. In a nutshell, that's the conquer. And they could do that in the guise of a pandemic. It worked for them, didn't it? The conquering worked. The conquering and control worked with that. You know, the hatred, yep, started rising up against the different people. Yes, they can clear the shelves. And yes, they can put out different illnesses if they wanted to. Okay?
Sure.
Just saying.
Sure.
Just saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, this guy's
they
no
found
good.
The golden ticket with that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's this guy's bad news.
He's really,
you know,
bad news. And he's on the
yeah.
move. That's the thing. He's on the move right now.
Oh, sure.
So we're going to play, okay, this is Rick Warren answers the devil's question. Okay, now we're going to listen to a longer version of that interview in Davos by Warren that involves the church and its role in the agenda. It's only 3 minutes and 55 seconds.
Okay.
But.
Well, hi, YouTubers. I'm Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life and pastor of Saddleback Church. I'm here at Davos with a lot of my friends, and we're talking about what are the biggest problems on the planet and how are we going to solve them. Right now, I think there are five what I call global giants. Extreme poverty, pandemic diseases, illiteracy, corruption, and the spiritual emptiness. These problems are so big, nobody's been able to solve them. The U.S. hasn't solved them. The U.N. hasn't solved them. Nobody's solved them. And I think it's because it's going to take three-pronged strategy to do this. There's a role for the public sector, there's a role for the private sector, and there's a role for the faith sector. Each of them can do something that none of the other three can do. Government has a role to set agenda. Government has a role to set priorities and things like that and move nations. And there's some things that only governments could do. Businesses have a role, which they have. They bring expertise. They bring investments. They bring all kinds of innovations to the market. But then also houses of worship have things that businesses and government will never have. In the first place, we have universal distribution. The church was global 200 years before Davos ever talked about globalization. I can take you to 10 million villages around the world. The only thing in it is the church. And we are in more locations in the United Nations. We speak more languages than the United Nations. We're in 1,000 more people groups in the United Nations. You see, there's 600 million Buddhists in the world, there are 800 million Hindus in the world, there are 1 billion Muslims in the world, but there are 2.3 billion Christians in the world. If you take people of faith out of the equation, you rule about 5/6 of the world. So we have to mobilize these faith groups to do take work together on these issues that have been unsolvable. And the church has, of course, the greatest distribution. We also have the biggest manpower with 2.3 trillion people. It means the church, the Christian church, is bigger than China. It's bigger than India. In fact, it's bigger than India and China put together. So nothing compares to its size. We have hundreds of millions of people who volunteer around the world in villages and cities on a weekly basis, and we don't have to pay them. The third thing that they have is they have local credibility. At the local level, people trust that priest or that pastor, or for that matter, an imam or a rabbi, the religious leader of their faith, because he's marrying, he's burying, he's helping them through the stages of life. When the crisis comes, NGOs come and go, nations come and go, but for instance, the church has a 2,000-year track record. So I really think that what we need to do here at Davos is to work on a three-legged stool. The problem we haven't solved these issues before is because we've had a two-legged stool. We've had government and business trying to work together, and that's a good thing, but a two-legged stool will fall over. You have to have the faith sector, you have to have the public sector, and you have to have the private sector. And frankly, I don't care why you do good as long as you do good. Your motive may be politics. I'm a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and I've learned that when you, for instance, help people get well, if they've been unhealthy, they like your nation. Now, that's not my motivation for doing good, but it's not a bad one. If you have a political motivation, fine, do it. You may have a profit motivation for doing good. Some businesses say we're going to make drugs and make money at the same time and help people. Great. I wish more people would do that. I wish more businesses would make more money and do more good at the same time. It's not my motivation, but a profit motive is not bad. You might have a personal motivation. Maybe you had cancer, you had AIDS, and so you care about people with cancer and AIDS. My motivation is that Jesus said, love your neighbors yourself. But it doesn't have to be your motivation. I'm just encouraging you to get involved. Do something now about the problems of the world.
Blah, blah, blah.
I love you. So unimpressed by this guy.
Yeah.
I know. Well, Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problem, not us.
Exactly.
His three-legged stool there is the Antichrist agenda, too. That's government, business, and faith, right? Put simply,
mm-hmm.
You have the government, the financial, and the religion put together. Now, all is one. That's your coexist movement,
Yeah.
It's they're building Babel, and that's the third leg is the religion of that. He stated that people trust the priests, the pastors, the imams, the rabbis. First of all, Jesus is the rabbi. He is the teacher, Aren't we to trust in God? He's trying to say if you put your trust, these are the people the religious world trusts. No, we don't. But go ahead.
Right. Listen, what he's talking about is Mystery Babylon.
Exactly.
The harlot of Revelation 17 is
mm-hmm.
has a three-pronged system.
Yes.
One is religion, which he's
mm-hmm.
talking about, right? The
yep.
second is political.
Yeah.
Because
government.
It is the center of government for the Antichrist. Thirdly,
right.
it's financial.
Why
is it
exactly.
financial? Well, because that's how he controls the masses. You can't buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick Warren represents Mystery Babylon.
Exactly.
That's it. When
that
he says it's a three-prong effect. No, it's Mystery Babylon, dude.
Yep.
You are a representative. And when he says rabbi and imam and, whatever, dude, you're promoting,
mm-hmm.
Ecumenism. That's
yes,
it.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yep.
So,
he simply says it's government, financial, and religion.
That's
what he says. And that's exactly,
that's mystery.
The
it's
system.
Mystery Babylon.
Yep. That's it. So now we know where he's at.
Yep.
He's trying to say, he said the church is bigger than India and China put together. No. That's a broad gate. That's Mystery Babylon, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one trying to crawl up a different way. That's it.
Yep.
So, but he's on the move. He's turned his church over and he's moving towards the agenda and away from turning more toward this agenda than anything else and away from the religious and more, calling it religious, by the way, you know, but into the world system with,
well,
you know. Go ahead.
Again, there's no way that he was going to stay at Saddleback Church.
No.
Because, again, see, this, look, when Trump was president, where were the evangelical pastors? Were the evangelical pastors at their churches? They were.
Nope.
I mean, they had more photo ops with Trump. I mean, every other week, I would see evangelicals meeting with President Donald Trump. Another photo. So what was happening to their congregations? Their congregations were abandoned because these guys were in Washington D.C. brainstorming as to how they're going to, Seven Mountain Mandate and all that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And before you knew it, the Seven Mountain Takeover didn't last 4 years. You know, they were kicked out. Where's Paula White now? Where's Jensen Franklin now? Where are all these clowns now? With all their prophecies that Trump was going to win again and all blah, blah, blah. Oh, my goodness. These people, they like to be among the elites.
Yeah.
That's it, because they don't want to be with the peons. They don't want to be with the masses.
No, a lot of that's fear-based, too, because, you know, these are supposed, air quote, shepherds, shepherding people and all that kind of thing that, they're talking about that. But they are so fearful that they'll throw the flock under the bus to make sure that they're on board with this agenda. They're fearful. They're afraid.
Yeah.
They're hugging up to whoever they can themselves. They're protecting their own, you know, and leaving the flock out for the wolves. That's what they're doing.
Sure.
They're not only leading them there, but go ahead.
They're agents of Antichrist. All these clowns are agents of Antichrist.
Absolutely.
They all work for the big guy, you know. They all work for the beast. And they don't love the Lord Jesus. Because why would you spend so much time with Trump? You know, the guy's got work to do and you're annoying him with prayers and prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers that God doesn't hear and prophecies that aren't real. These people are crazy.
Trump said, I don't know how they get away with it. You know, I mean, you know, I forget what he said exactly. What did he call them, hucksters or something?
Yeah, hucksters. He says it's amazing how these people get over. He could see a phony a mile away. He's a New Yorker, right?
Exactly.
They're not getting over on him.
No, not at all.
And he's just using them. He wants votes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he does. All he wanted was votes. These pastors are a nuisance to him. Now he uses them because he's a political monster.
Mm-hmm.
And look. For Trump, it was about always staying in power.
Yep.
He's an egomaniac.
Right.
He's an egomaniac.
Yep.
Right?
That's
he's mad. Listen, he's mad because he used to say, this guy, he does circles. He's talking about Biden, how Biden had those circles where you had to stand in them and you couldn't come any closer to Biden because of the circles. And he says, I'll be ashamed if I lose to this guy. And he lost.
Yes, exactly.
He lost.
How that happened, we'll never know. We'll
right.
never know that one. That'll be a mystery that we'll find out at the end of the day. I think how that happened. I think in the end we'll find out.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
by then we won't
right.
care. By then we won't care. So,
no, I don't even care now.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I don't care now. I don't, please.
It was a
now.
Prediction of how future voting would go. You know.
Yeah.
You know how votes would be counted in the future, how our future, you know, system of voting in this country may go. We got a taste of that. We just got
absolutely.
A little taste of that.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is our next one is witchcraft and the World Economic Forum. So, speaking of the World Economic Forum that we're at, and all these other forums here, because they're all alike, about 6.5 years ago, you remember we introduced, I think 6.5 years ago, I have lost track, we've introduced Alice Bailey, right?
Right.
And I gave you information about her relationship with various groups. One of those groups was the United Nations. The United Nations Spiritual Foundation was founded on the teachings of Alice Bailey. People don't realize that. That is their spiritual foundation. It comes from her teachings. So Hugo did a great audio on here, and we're going to examine it. And it shows the connection between the World Economic Forum and the Lucis Trust. And now we know that the Lucis Trust, its original name was Lucifer Publishing. That was Alice Bailey's publishing house. And the Davos that we just spoke about. She was connected to all these. And that's one of the main reasons, I think, that we were led to start with her, because it begins with her. Well, it doesn't begin with her exactly. We can go back to the garden. But what I'm saying is this agenda here, this one, kind of began with her as far as the spiritual and the United Nations, and it will end with her teachings in here. So he sounds like he got a lot of flack for pointing this out, too. About Alice mm-hmm. Bailey or about the United Nations, which you will if you're telling the truth. So
right.
We're going to review a couple of things that he did. In the near future, I'm going to talk about a few things that he talked about in here. He will tell you it's complicated. That's why you have to spend a lot of time with this. You know, as far as with Alice, you have to spend a lot of time because you saw the books in her library. It's catered what she was into and what she believes. But their spiritual foundation, the United Nations, is her agenda, okay? So if you want to play that, if that makes sense,
that
I don't know.
Sense.
It's 9 minutes and 29 seconds if you want to play that. And this is Hugo again. He puts out some good things every now and then.
Yes, he does.
Well, he's correct, too. I can tell you, I've done research on it, so he is correct. Go ahead.
Right.
Sorry.
No problem.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Okay, now, this video is connecting the World Economic Forum and the Lucis Trust and how they are casting spells for their events, okay? And as with all of my videos, I'm merely pointing out the facts. I'm showing you what they are telling you on their websites. It's not hidden, okay? So the Lucis Trust, formerly known as Lucifer Publishing, who have consultative status within the United Nations and are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations, the Lucis Trust are Luciferians. That's their religion. It's not hidden. Freemason Alice Bailey formed at Lucifer Publishing back in 1925, and it was named after their love of Lucifer, who they see as the light bearer, the fallen angel. They see him as a solar angel and see Lucifer's fall into sin as a sacrifice, okay? That's how they see it, simply, okay? They changed their name to Lucis Trust from Lucifer Publishing because they were getting a lot of flack from people accusing them of being Satanists, okay? They make this very clear on their site. They, along with the United Nations, want a one-world government, a one-world religion. Remove Christianity, remove the foundations that society is built on, as the 10-point plan for a new world order, which is derived from her books, Alice Bailey's books, which I've talked about in the recent video, Aquarian and Luciferian Agenda. And in Freemasonry, at the highest ranks, they worship Lucifer too. Now, you're going to hear people say, yeah, but, you know, people got the wrong idea about Lucifer. It's the worship of enlightenment. It's about the light bearer. It's not Satan or the devil. And they will say this to make you think it's no big deal. Within these organizations, you have what they call Luciferians of the light, but you also have Luciferians of the dark, who are straight up satanic. And it's a Hegelian dialect within that system. We could attempt to go into this some more, but, you know, it's complicated, and I want to keep it simple for this video. But it's witchcraft, Luciferian witchcraft. It's all the same. I mean, you have white witches who perform white witchcraft, who say, I only cast spells for good. And you have black witches who perform black witchcraft, who cast spells to harm people. But when it's all said and done, it's still witchcraft. Now, when we see these puppet tyrants and world leaders on the world stage, as they call it, going to meetings at Davos for the World Economic Forum or the G7 summit, wherever they may be having it, all of them wearing their suits and talking about economics and climate change, etc., it's all politics and business. But do you think there is any witchcraft involved with these events? Well, here we see the Lucis Trust, formerly known as Lucifer Publishing, who are part of the United Nations, who look after and control the meditation room in the UN building, the meditation room that is stated as dedicated to the God of many names, which is, let me guess, is it Lucifer? Here is the Lucis Trust, okay, openly telling you they perform spells for these events, and this is sanctioned and approved by the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, okay, because these people are all one. So here we see at lucistrust.org, and this is part of their new group of world servers, which they call World Goodwill, which is a huge group of interconnected people and businesses across the world who are part of this agenda, as illustrated in my recent videos. Here they have this thing called Cycle of Conferences, and as far as I can see, they have been doing this for the past 10 years. And I'll read it out from the page, okay? But bear in mind, it says here at the bottom that they are doing this for the upcoming World Economic Forum on the 22nd and the 26th of May at Davos, followed by the G7 Summit on the 26th to the 28th of June 2022, and the UN Ocean Conference, the 27th of June to the 1st of July 2022. And this is what they are asking members to do for these events. It says here, the Lucis Trust's World Goodwill Cycle of Conferences project is a worldwide meditation group that joins together in a visualization to help spiritually enlighten the atmosphere on which world conferences vital to humanity's spiritual progress depend. This service initiative involves group invocation of the divine will and its direction as the will to good in the build-up to a selected conference, preparing in advance the right spiritual atmosphere in which it can take place. The group imaginatively projects a lighted seed of will energy and develops it into a pulsating heart center, radiating the light, love, and power of the great invocation throughout the event and its participants. Through visualization, this preparatory nucleus of light can frequently be brought under the gaze of the mind's eye and its inner fire fed with ideas resulting from meditation upon the topic that the conference is focusing. Okay, that's straight from the website. So what does that sound like to you? Now remember, this is the Lucis Trust. They are part of the United Nations. They are the United Nations spiritual foundation. A lot of people keep commenting on my videos, oh Hugo, you're talking nonsense about all this Lucifer devil stuff, it's all mumbo jumbo, etc. Look, it doesn't matter what you believe. I'm just showing you the facts. This is here in black and white. This is clearly witchcraft and spells being cast for these events at the World Economic Forum and the G7 summits. Let's look at the wording they use. Here it says, this service initiative involves group invocation. So what exactly is invocation? Okay, the definition for invocation is calling upon an authority. But in the spiritual realm, which this certainly is, it means
a formula for conjuring, incantation, the act of summoning a spirit or demon from another world by ritual, incantation, or magic. That's invocation, okay? Conjuring, incantation, summoning a spirit. That's what they are saying. It's all written out there for you to see. I'm not making this stuff up, you know. You can check it out for yourself. So basically, you've got Luciferians of the Lucis Trust, who are part of the United Nations, openly stating on their website they are summoning and conjuring spirits, witchcraft, invocation, to empower the World Economic Forum's Davos event coming up this month and for the United Nations G7 summit. And they say they are doing this to prepare the right spiritual atmosphere and for humanity's spiritual progress. So, yeah, there you go. This is what they are doing. And remember, this is the United Nations. I mean, they are part of the United Nations. You may not believe in all of this metaphysical stuff, but they certainly do, all of these puppet tyrants and UN leaders. Now, I'm just showing you the facts. It's up to you if you want to ignore them. The Aquarian Agenda video ruffled some feathers, but it's got a lot of positive comments as well. The majority of the people complaining about it, they never have a counter-argument to the facts that I've shown. If you have a problem with the video, then address the points in the video that you have a problem with. But they can't, because effectively, all I'm doing here is showing you the facts. I show you connections that happen over and over again with the same people in the same places at the same events, which basically eliminates the possibilities of coincidence once you've seen it so many times. And I also showed you a person who is connected to all of those other people, who is attached to a group, who interviews an individual, whose international organization is listed on the Lucis Trust website as an Aquarian group server. I mean, it's all there. I mean, I'm just showing you the facts. And you really should question people who complain about those videos, because they don't address the facts or provide any legitimate counter-argument to what I've shown them. Because they can't, basically, because everything is factual and backed up by proof. It is what it is. And here in this video, again, I'm basically showing you what they are telling you on their own websites. I'll leave a link to the page I was just showing so you can check it out for yourself. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Mystery Babylon in full swing. That's, you know, that's what it is. We know we're in the end times. I mean, think about it. Rick Warren is so tight with the UN. Why is he so tight with the UN? Why is he why is he in bed with the Pope? Right? I mean, this guy he doesn't miss a meeting.
Right.
He doesn't.
Well, you know, in that, they have their own version of light and darkness, and they're both counterfeits, you know. You just see, and I understand his frustration. He's bringing this out now. And it's, you know, been out there, but he's just putting this together now, and he's taking a lot of flack for it. I get it. I get it. We sounded crazy 6.5 years ago, bro, or 7 years ago. We sounded crazy bringing this out, trying to talk about this stuff with Alice Bailey. You know, and people are saying, yeah, well, look at where we're at. It just shows you the Lord is accurate. You know, 100% with this stuff. This is the religion that they're using at the end times here, you know, and it's a counterfeit. That's where they're going. That's where these world leaders are going anyway.
Right.
You know, whether it be Davos, G7, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, it's all the same agenda. It's all the same religion, you know, the belief system. And she's behind it. And, you know, we talked about that meditation room back then. We were talking about that. It's a square room. I mean, I can picture it. It's like a or it's not a square room. It's like on a triangle. And
right.
I can picture it where they go and meditate. You know, they have the world goodwill, they call it. It's interconnected people. And it goes back to, what's it go back to in this? It's business, government, and Luciferian religion. That's, you know, what they're pulling together right here. So we know whose agenda, again, that is. So I would say we need to pray from June 26th to July 1st, because that's where their Luciferian events are taking place. So from the 26th of June to July 1st, they have all these meetings, these meditations, all these things, you know.
Right.
And if you notice, spiritual enlightenment, that's something, terms that churches use all the time now. You know, that visualization. Remember the old word of faith, put it on the refrigerator and claim
right.
it. You know,
right.
that goes back years ago. You know, the mind's eye they're talking about, that's the third eye. The fire
mm-hmm.
tunnels, you know,
sure.
conjuring up of these spirits. Remember, who was it? Rick Joyner? Remember?
Right.
That,
mm-hmm.
you know, what he had and he called church. And think about Paula conjuring up the African spirits, you know, in there when Trump,
yeah.
yeah. you know, she was calling on. See, there, these pastors, what I'm trying to get across here is these pastors in this apostate group or, you know, this satanic organization that are in the church, they've signed on to this. They've signed on the dotted line for this. Just like a musician signs on the dotted line, you know, to sell their soul to
right.
Satan for in the music. They've signed on to this. And we hear the
right.
language. They have people so familiar with the terms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've seen introduced in these false churches is Luciferian teaching. That's what it is. And people don't understand what's in their churches, you know.
Right.
You know, so we really, you know.
It's the world is coming together under
mm-hmm.
mystery of Babylon. Now think
that's
about it.
Yes.
You got all these guys buying up land,
mm-hmm.
controlling, because they see an opportunity. See, they say, well, if somebody's going to raise cattle, meat, it's going to be me. I'll be rich.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, because here's the thing. This is the thing. If there's a famine in the land, what are you going to buy? Are you going to buy toilet paper or are you going to buy a chicken? If there's famine in the land,
well, of course.
Forget
you're
the toilet
by,
paper. I'm forget
yeah,
the toilet paper.
Chicken.
I'm going
yeah.
to the chicken, right?
Yeah.
So they can already see that they're going to be forcing certain things
mm-hmm.
because they're the elite. They're the ones who are meeting, right?
Yes. Yep.
Listen, that land that this guy is buying, it might be because he wants to mine for silver, right? He
you
wants to
know.
Mine it for gold. You never know what these people want to do with the land.
Yeah. I would
so,
say that's possible with some of the locations you're talking, you know, that we talked about in there.
Right, right. There's,
some
I mean, there's,
be,
there was
yes.
there was always gold in California. There was always gold in Arizona. There was always
mm-hmm.
silver mines in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put it past these guys that they're looking for stuff. Okay, so the key is that they're buying stuff up. They're trying to create a monopoly, a religious monopoly, an economic monopoly, a political monopoly. And
mm-hmm.
And we're just at the end times. Satan
yeah.
and his Antichrist are about to appear.
Yeah.
Right? So...
Yeah.
I was in the car yesterday driving from my home to the church to do the daily prayer meeting, and they had an AI, artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And the AI had mimicked the voice of Jerry Seinfeld and was doing Jerry Seinfeld commercials, comedy. Now, it wasn't Jerry Seinfeld. It wasn't. And he didn't write the jokes. It was an AI who had imitated his voice and who had written the jokes himself.
Mm.
Tell me if that isn't scary.
It is scary. It
there
is scary. Because they could have someone mimic your voice.
Yeah, they have things already they're not even telling us about.
Yeah. Well, did you hear, I heard on the television that they were talking about introducing umpires in baseball games? Robot umpires?
Robots, sure.
Did you hear
Absolutely.
That?
Sure. There's going to be robots for marriage. They're going to decide who's right, the husband or the wife. Who's right and who's wrong. Of course, the wives aren't going to like those robots, but they're coming. Right? The robots
are coming. I'm silent on that one.
So it is what it is.
I plead the fifth.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Yeah, this could be, this is scary, yeah, but, you know, what can you do? It's going to happen.
Nothing.
It's going to happen.
Nothing you can do. There's nothing you can
right.
do. It's prophecy's got to be fulfilled before we check out of here.
Yeah.
And the people
that's
who
right.
don't want this to happen are short-sighted.
Yes.
Because the Lord has to come back.
Yep, that's right.
The Lord has to come back.
I think the only, a lot of people are saying, Lord, please come. But, you know, that's grace and mercy, too, because people have unsaved loved ones yet, and they're praying for them to be saved before the Lord returns. And, you know, that's a fearful day. Great and fearful day of the Lord. I mean, that's not going to be a good sight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And people have to realize that that's not, they're just taking it, oh, well, we'll be out of here before all this happens. Well, guess what? We're still here. And this is happening. It's happening and it will happen. There's not a lot you can say. You just need to hold on. Hold on.
What'd
you say before? Put on your seatbelt.
Right.
That's your saying. You said that years ago as we're going through this. You kept saying, put on your seatbelt, because you could see it coming. You could see. We were doing shows, and it's like, oh, geez, this is getting worse. And speaking of which, for me, when I caught that drag queen, I knew this was going to be a problem. However, this was going to be something coming down the pipe that was, stood out. That red flag was flying high for me. Okay,
sure.
We have another audio from Hugo, and he makes a good point here. And I have a little bit of a long thing to get through before I play it here. This agenda is moving forward, and according to the Bible, we're not going to stop it. So you're not. It's like trying to stop the birth process. You're just not going to do it. But included in the agenda is a continuous narrative of keeping you fearful and on guard. And that's to create the chaos. You have to realize this. Now, one of the things they do is they make you believe that a situation or a problem is bigger than it really is. I mean, at times they will do that. So the narrative projects everything on a mass scale. You have one incident and they blow it up and blow it up and blow it up. And that's a lot of that is to keep you in fear, because they know that fear causes stress, and that's exactly what they want. Then they want to become your problem solver and they want you to depend on them. This is all in plain sight. You can see that coming down the pipes. And we're told, you know, we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. We don't trust these people. And so we need to trust the Lord in these times. But their thing is to keep you in fear. Now, we certainly know that we have problems. And if things were as big as they said they were, a lot of things, they would already have this agenda accomplished. You know, and they have done, would have done everything that they needed to do. You know. So, yes, we have problems all over. But in this, you know, Hugo kind of points out that this is also fear-based. So where we see something happening, it's created into a bigger problem. And I think the thing would have been, I'm trying to think of something. Okay, at the White House, what happened at the White House? Now, I've seen video of that. But, you know, we're having committee meetings. We're having, you know, all these things, hearings going on and everything. To me, it looked like the guy opened the door and backed up. I'm sorry. You know? The infiltration there. We have, you know, if you look at the video of that, you have to ask yourself, did the guy open the door? You know, I mean, I played it over and over again, but look what it's turned into. You know, it's a lot of chaos, so is there problems? You know, normally we need to think the opposite of what they're doing. Now, is the drag queen story hour a problem? Yes. One of the events are too many. And as bad as it is, it could be worse, especially in the UK where Hugo's from. Yeah, trust me, this is more of a U.S. thing than it is the UK, even though they're in the UK. It originated here, right? And it's a bigger problem here. This whole thing is meant to trigger you. You know, and I would say that the drag queen story hour triggers most people more than anything. So I want to remind people in this, and what I'm getting at here is I want to remind people how careful he needs to approach the subject being in the UK. Okay? So I'm hoping when he expresses something like not to be worried about something that is not affecting you personally, people understand, I hope, in here, that he's not saying not to care about others. He's trying to make a point that fear and worry, you know, helps them while hurting you, okay? So don't take that wrong when he says that. And he has to be extremely careful in the UK. He could lose his page. I think he's on four or five different different audios by now on YouTube, you know, different platforms. But you have to be, you know, over here we can say certain things. Well, it's different over there. So, but he does say not to be worried about something that's not affecting you personally. And he's not saying not to care about others. So that's one of the things I wanted to point out in that. So if you want to play that, we will.
All right, here it is.
Long intro.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. So we've got a lot of stories about drag queens doing the rounds in the media and a lot of people getting angry about it. And, you know, I mean, look, everybody just needs to chill out a little bit, you know, take a deep breath. I've seen some posts of people raging about this. And these reactions, you see, are, I would imagine, based purely on what they have seen online, maybe a photograph, maybe a video, maybe a news story. It's nothing that has affected them directly, but yet they're raging about it, you know? I've got to chill out a little bit, take a deep breath, and not let images, yeah, and words on the internet, on your smartphone, wind you up. Because a lot of what is being put out by the media is trying to wind you up about all sorts of topics. You need to be wary of this and ask yourself, is much of this output from both sides, is it being put out to get me to react like that? This is something to keep in mind. So let's take a look at this story here in the New York Post. Over $200,000 being spent on drag queen shows at New York City schools, record show. Now, the New York Post is the mainstream media, okay? I mean, it's owned by Murdoch. It's a Murdoch-owned tabloid. So you should take anything it says with a very small pinch of salt. It says here, New York is showering taxpayer funds on a group that sends drag queens into city schools, often without parental knowledge or consent, even as parents in other states protest increasingly aggressive efforts to expose kids to gender-bending performers. Last month alone, Drag Story Hour New York City, a non-profit whose outrageously cross-dressed performers interact with kids as young as three, earned $46,000 from city contracts for appearances at public schools, street festivals, and libraries, city records show. Okay, so since January, the group has organized, it says here, 49 drag programs in 34 public, elementary, middle, and high schools, it boasted on its website, with appearances in all five boroughs. I can't believe this. I am shocked, said public school mum and state assembly candidate Helen Q, whose 11-year-old son attends a Manhattan middle school. I would be furious if he was exposed without my consent. This is not part of the curriculum, she says. It says here, since 2018, the group has received a total of $207,000 in taxpayer cash. So this has been going on for a while. It says 2018. But it has increased in the last year or so. Now, I don't understand. Maybe I'm just stupid. But why is this a thing? I mean, look, if you're a man and you want to dress up as a woman in this very over-the-top, outlandish way with these ultra-bright clown-like colors, then go ahead. I mean, okay, it's not something I will be doing, and I'm not really interested in seeing you do it either. And that's not hate speech, okay? I'm just not interested in it whatsoever. But, you know, you can go about your business. It's no problem to me, all right? But what has this got to do with three-year-old kids in schools and reading stories? I mean, what is this connotation between telling stories to very young children by men dressed up like women and acting in a very over-the-top manner? I mean, why is this a thing at all? I mean, some of these kids are very, very young children. You know, it's going to be a bit confusing. They'll be asking, you know, why is this bloke reading us a story dressed up as a woman? Is that what it is all about? Is it to confuse the young children about genders? It would also scare young children as well, I would imagine. Anyhow, it continues. Cross-dress performers typically read aloud from a list of books that teach acceptance and inclusion, including children's classics like Where the Wild Things Are and The Rainbow Fish, and some that overtly celebrate gender fluidity, like the hips on the drag queen go swish, swish, swish. Yeah, it's all very strange. So if we take a look at the website, okay, Drag Queen Story Hour, this is their, you know, official website. It has an events page, which has all of the places they are doing this in schools. And there's quite a few. We've got, Hawaii, Arizona, Indiana. You know, there's a lot of states here, about 20 states, etc. Even international, Australia, Europe, Berlin. It's obviously quite a well-oiled organization to get all of these places covered. Drag Queen Story Hour describes itself as a global network of local organizations. So yeah, this is definitely some sort of an agenda going on. You can't organize this in all of these different places on a wing and a prayer. So it's definitely part of some form of an agenda. But as with most things, we need to look at it objectively. I mean, if we look at the numbers and the areas that are doing these drag queen stories for schools, say, just in America, and we take into account the amount of actual elementary schools, which I believe is around 110,000 schools, well, these drag queen story times wouldn't even amount to 0.1% of the schools. I mean, it's a tiny drop in the ocean. So if this is an agenda of some kind, it would need to increase massively, I mean massively, to have any kind of effect at all. It seems to me the main effect it does have is the media reporting on it. The mainstream media, the news articles are making far more headway and getting far more attention and having far more of an influence as opposed to the actual events themselves. I mean, that's not to say, though, that this thing is growing. It is growing because it is. But its actual coverage of schools is tiny, is minute. So while it is, in my opinion, very odd, very strange, and ties in with a lot of the weird stuff that's going on at the moment, in regards to the fake stream media, it seems to serve more so as an agenda of creating anger, of manufacturing hatred in people. You know, on one hand, you've got the media and organizations pushing and promoting the LGBTQ agenda. And then on the other side, you have the same mainstream media outlets putting out articles like here in the New York Post and say this one in the Daily Mail yesterday. And instead of promoting it, it's articles like this that are designed to provoke and manufacture outrage. So they are like playing the audience both ways, like a fiddle. You know, they're playing the people like a fiddle. And there are numerous examples of the media doing this now. You know, much of the stories put out by the fake stream are absolute nonsense. It's either about provoking a response or gauging a response to see if they can get away with doing something in the future. People need to switch off from it. The reason I did this video is because I saw this post on social media, some guy walking through the street, filming himself, talking as he was walking, and he was literally shouting about this particular, not this particular drag queen story, but another one from yesterday. And he was raging. He was talking about his kid and what he would do if this happened at his kid's school. It hasn't happened at his kid's school. And yet he was absolutely raging in the street. And it's like, you know, this situation at the moment is not affecting you in real life, in reality. It has no bearing on you at the moment, yet you're raging in the middle of the street because you think it might, on account of you seeing media stories, photographs and whatever in the press, and you've let it enrage you. That's how powerful the media is. I mean, unless something is affecting you in your actual life, it's best to look at these things objectively, you know, and be wary of not just the mainstream, but also the alternative media that are looking to create and manufacture outrage, as it does seem that chaos is a goal of the control freaks, as their motto is order out of chaos. I mean, it's the same as build back better in a way. Nearly everything that has happened in the last 2 years has resulted a lot from manipulation of the mind. And that manipulation, a lot of the time, has been created out of virtually nothing in the media. So be wary of the media and the news manufacturing hatred in you, because that is something I see them doing all of the time. So I hope I've explained myself properly there. I hope that makes sense. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to Hugo.
Go ahead.
He makes a really good point there about triggering people with their feelings, you know?
Yeah.
Dealing with emotions. And I think, you know, is it at the point that, you know, we have no peace and people kill one another? No, it's not at that point. But that's what they would like. And we know that that's a part of biblically what can happen. So this agenda, in many ways is to, there's a lot of things that will trigger you, and that's exactly what they want, and anger you, you know? So we have to, are things as big as they could be? No, you know, not yet. I think it'll get there. But, you know, they're just pushing the buttons right now to see how far they can go to trigger people and get people angry to rise up. So what do you think? I mean, one of these is too many for me.
Yeah, Jesus said, if any man would do harm to a little child, one child, it would be better for him to put a millstone around his neck.
Yep.
So one child is too much. Number two, we don't need to allow leavening. Right? The thing is, they're leavening the children's minds.
Yep.
One drag queen is too much.
Yep.
You know, all you need all you need is one rat carrying the bubonic plague, and before you know it, there's going to be stacks of people all
dead.
We
have a pandemic.
Piled on top.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So one is too many. You know, one. Listen, all you need is one wolf among the sheep. You don't need 10. You don't need 15. You don't need big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
One lone wolf among the sheep. Destroy the flock. One.
Yeah.
So one is too many. You know, that's like
that's
like
exactly
if I
what I
you.
Said in the beginning. You could see
it's
how
like
he danced around that, though. He's not for that one bit, but he had to dance around it, you know,
We have
what
to
he
listen.
Was trying to say.
Yeah, we have to protect the little ones who can't protect themselves.
That's right.
And they're the children, right?
That's right.
I don't want to, you know, I don't have any grandchildren yet, but the day I do, I don't want any drag queen coming anywhere near my grandson or my granddaughter. I wouldn't even want them coming next to Benji right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So
exactly.
And he's the family dog. So no. No. One is too many.
Dogs too. Yep.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. So again, you know, it's like, look, you would not let one anaconda or one python snake in your house.
That's
not
right.
One. I know that if there was a snake loose in my house, my wife would pack the kids in the car and say, "We're going to a hotel until you show me proof that you got rid of that snake." That's just one.
That would be me too.
Right?
Me too.
So it is what it is. It's you just don't allow it. You just don't allow it.
But I can tell you, I can see all over where the most triggering things that you can think of are taking place. Four reactions. You know, people out there, and especially in YouTube land, are the most triggering people just for reactions. You see?
Well,
they do something, there's no consequence, and they keep getting away with something and away with something, and people are rising up saying, "This is crazy." You see?
Mm-hmm.
You got, why are they getting away with this? How can they do this? If I did this, you know, and I have to believe a lot of that is just to trigger people. To see how far they can take things.
Right.
You see?
Right.
With
right.
That, and to deal with your emotions, you know, to play with your emotions instead of, and for Christians, it's the Word of God. You know, we don't let our emotions rule us. But to the world, their emotions do rule them. And
Absolutely.
So they're dealing on emotions all the time. And, but we do have one quick, I see the time's getting short here, so we do have one more quick audio, and this is Kids Run from Drag Queen during Story Hour in Liberal Church, and it's 1 minute, 32 seconds. We got some smart kids here who run away.
Here it is.
Parents weren't too smart.
Sure.
Okay.
People in the congregation over the years kind of say, "Why are there drag queens at church?" And I want to say, "Why not?" And if you'd like to introduce yourself or if you have anything else to say, go for it. This is your moment.
Oh, it's our time to shine. Hello. What a joy it is to share this beautiful Sunday morning with you. It's very exciting. I've never been here before, and it's thank you for inviting us into your church and into your hearts today. We're going to be reading Why We Fly the Rainbow today by Miss Minty Beats, which is just a fabulous name, by the way. We're going to just alternate. I'm going to read two pages, and then the lovely Katana will take over and take some pages, and we're just going to go back and forth. Children that want to come a little bit closer, you're welcome to come up closer. Yeah, no, you're welcome to the adults. We would love to have some kids join us. It's okay to be shy. I'm also intimidated by Katana's beauty, so.
It's not a thing.
It's a thing. Perfect. We'll get some time. I see one up in the stands. Come and join us. We would love to have you. We see you. I'm waving at you. Hi. Hello. They're running.
Yeah, I would be running too.
So in the end, they ran away.
Sure.
A smart kid. Stupid parent for taking the kids there. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kids
absolutely.
Didn't want anything to do with it.
No.
Praise God we have discernment in children.
Oh, my goodness. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Not one kid
yeah.
Not one kid ran up there. Not
nope.
One kid.
No. Nope.
And I got to tell you, that drag
yeah.
queen was scary looking.
Yes, I knew you. I'm not sure how you were going to get through that.
I said, wow.
See, our
wow.
Elliot would have kicked him. That would have not been.
Yeah. Sure.
Kicked
absolutely.
Him and took off. Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, where we are, but you know, these things are going to happen, and the good message, I mean, in all of it is we have to realize that this is all prophecy being fulfilled. This is what's happening, and not to be triggered, you know, to where
right.
your mind gets so overwhelmed, and it can. I mean, I look at the news all the time, and it can if you let it.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
But you're not dealing with emotions. You know, we deal with the Word of God. We understand that this is all just moving. It's part of the birth process. We're moving forward. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, just watch your kids, you know?
Absolutely.
Help others. Help others understand that they need to watch their kids. That's, you know, that's what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have teacher another suggestion for us here.
Well, like I said,
anything
I mean,
else?
I would not let my dog Benji,
correct,
who's only 7 months old, I would not let him next to a drag queen. So,
correct.
So that just tells you, you know, where my grandchildren would be, and my children,
right.
I wouldn't let
right.
a drag queen in the church. That's not
yep.
happening. So,
yeah,
it is what it is, and we just have to stand firm and say no.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we
and we
do
have
to stand up against these things.
Yeah,
yes.
you have to call it an abomination. This is
mm-hmm.
an abomination. So,
yep.
It is what it is, and that's that, and God
yep.
help us. God help us
yes.
to stand
absolutely.
Firm in the faith.
Yep.
Well, this
absolutely.
Is a great show. Great show. I hope Pope Francis does resign just to see who's the next clown they're going to put in there. And
right.
It's not going to make a difference because we're in the end times. This is why this is the end time news report. And
mm-hmm.
It is what it is, and we just got to keep winning souls for Jesus.
That's
keep
right.
Winning souls for
that's
the Lord.
Right.
So
and
you
thank
have the
you
last
for
word,
being
my
such
sister.
A big, well, I would thank you for being a big part in helping all of us in this walk. You know, you've discipled a lot of people. You worked with a lot of us. And, you know, thank you for standing up against them, you know, these things, and for taking a stand for the Lord. So we just want to thank you for that. you know.
Amen.
You're a great pastor, great teacher, and you've been a good friend, and I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
That's my last word.
All righty.
That's my last word, and we'll listen to the music. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't.
Filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
My cup overflowing.
My cup overflowing.
No weapon can harm me.
No weapon can harm me.
I won't fear.
Oh,
one more time. Try